Y'all know that cleanser? 409? It's a warped sense of humor. That's the problem here. When my boys were little, one of their favorite books was Alexander and the Horrible, Terrible, Not Good, Very Bad Day. Y'all read that? Alexander, he's 7 or 8 years old. And he had one of those days when, I mean, nothing went right. Disaster after disaster. It was a horrible, terrible, not good, very bad day. When he got up that morning, he realized he'd went to bed with gum in his mouth. So now it was in his hair. And then he got out of bed, realizing that, tripped over his skateboard. And then he went in the bathroom and he was trying to get ready and he dropped his sweater in the sink and the water was running. He said, I just knew it was going to be a horrible, terrible, not good, very bad day. I just knew that. He went to school and it continued. After school, he had to go to the dentist, and we all know that's never good. And then came supper time and he said, we had cauliflower for supper, and I hate cauliflower. And then they went in to watch the TV as a family, and he said, there was hugging and kissing, and I hate hugging and kissing. Then he went to take his bath. The bath water was too hot. He's got soap in his eyes. He lost his favorite marble down the drain. And that still wasn't the end of his problems. He said when he went to bed, his brother Nick had taken back the pillow that he had given him. And he said, my Mickey Mouse nightlight burned out and I bit my tongue. And then the cat decided to sleep with Nick and not me. All in all, he said, it was a horrible, terrible, not good, very bad day. And it's not any wonder when it finally came to the end of the day that Alexander just sighed real loud and cried out, I think I'll just run away to Australia. All of us can relate to that kind of thing. All of us have had days of anxiety and stress. I've had a few lately. You know, frayed nerves. And of course, as Christians, we're in the process of learning how to deal with them more and more effectively. As you read the scriptures, you're not going to find this instant formula, you know, flip this switch and it's all taken care of. Be assured, people have been looking for that switch, still are. Christians sometimes just want to say a prayer and have instant resolution, instant spiritual maturity. But that's not how it works. Growth comes through climbing a mountain. It comes through stress and strain and struggle as we endeavor to live the Christian life. A few years ago, Thomas Hobbes of the University of Washington and some fellow sociologists, they published their research on human stress. And they listed, you know, a lot of common experiences of life and evaluated their impact on our mental and emotional well-being and rated them according to the amount of stress they placed in our lives. And this stress rating they gave was life change units, LCUs. And the worse the stress, the higher the life change units. For instance, getting a divorce was 73 life change units. I've never had to deal with this, but being pregnant was 40. It's a lot. Right, ladies? Remodeling a house was only 25. Somehow that didn't seem high enough. The stress of Christmas was 13 life change units. And for some, it's much more. Some, much less. But that list of life change units, of course, was very long. And I mean, we all understand. There are so many things in life that can be measured with stress factors, life change units. Like when we learn of a friend, especially our own age, who's died. And then we have to deal again with the fact that, hey, I'm terminal. I'm not. And we go to the doctor, and the doctor tells us there's something questionable on our x-ray. Lots of stress. How about this? When our children grow up and move away, that empty house syndrome. Or we sell our house and we move somewhere else, or we change jobs, or, hey, when we retire, that can be very stressful. We're constantly being bombarded by life change. Sociologists tell us that when we experience the cumulative total of 300 or more life change units in a year, most people aren't able to handle it. They're going to have a physical or a mental or emotional breakdown. Because humanly speaking, we can't cope with that much change. But notice I said humanly speaking. And we emphasize the word humanly because our trust in God always makes a difference. Now, with that in mind, I want you to turn to Psalm 46. By the way, we don't know who the author of Psalm 46 is. But evidently, it was written in that kind of environment we're talking about, in very high stress. He's in a pressure cooker and he can't get out. And so he wrote these words dealing with stresses of life. There were a lot of life change units. And this is how he began. Psalm 46:1. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. The word trouble in Hebrew that's used here means to be pressed in on. It's kind of like being between a rock and a hard place. And so when you're between a rock and a hard place and you're feeling the pressure and you know it's all on your shoulders, here's a psalm that we can turn to because it ministers to us in an amazing and significant way. When Martin Luther, who was a Catholic priest but was excommunicated, he had the audacity in Wittenberg, Germany, to nail 95 theses or 95 points of contention he had with the Catholic Church. He's a Catholic priest. That got him into just a little bit of trouble. And when he was surrounded by enemies, they were trying to kill him, he read this psalm and he wrote, I think it's song number one or two, Dwight can tell you, a mighty fortress is our God. Is that number two, Dwight, or number one? Dwight. A mighty fortress is our God. Is that Psalm 1 or 2? It's right there at the front of our song books. And Martin Luther wrote that song in the 1500s.
Number three.
As he was facing all of this persecution due to him disagreeing with things that were happening in that church. But he saw the tremendous power of God as a bulwark. You know, that's the supporting beams on a bridge or a wall or a ship. He saw God as this incredible bulwark that never failed. And regardless of what happens in life, he understood that there's still the strength and the power and the might of God that we can turn to. And so what can we learn from this psalm? Well, number one, we learn that we don't ever have to fear. Look at verse 1. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear. Even though the earth be removed, and though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea, though its waters roar and be troubled, though the mountains shake with its swelling. As I read that, I thought, well, that kind of sounds familiar with some headlines we see in modern day science journals today, talking about how the world's going to be destroyed. And this psalmist says, doesn't matter. I'm not going to fear. Worrisome things are happening in our life. You know, at this time of the year in Oklahoma, it gets kind of western, doesn't it? We have a tornado shelter in our garage, and I think that Georgia was kindly a key in making sure that was in there. Is that right? You brought that up. Anyway, thank you. And we went for years and didn't get in it. We've been in it several times this year, it seems like. At least twice. Worrisome things happen. Tornadoes, floods. And we know that May's not even the end of it. We can have them all year. And what about the extreme weather events around our planet? You know, we look at the coastlines and they have hurricanes and we're thinking, man, we're glad we don't live there. And the people in California who are dealing with earthquakes are saying, boy, we're glad we don't live in Oklahoma. And on and on. But around our planet, there's hurricanes and tornadoes and blizzards and drought and floods and on and on and on. And some cry out, oh no, what is happening to our world? That's what he's talking about. And so as Christians, how do we react to this? This psalmist is really saying, my Lord is still in command of the winds and the waves and the sea and all the elements of nature. Therefore, we will not fear. That's what he's saying. So why do we not shake with fear? Because God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. So we're not going to fear. Secondly, we're not going to be moved, especially away from God. Look at verse 4. There's a river whose streams shall make glad the city of God, the holy place of the tabernacle of the Most High. It's talking about Jerusalem, right? God is in the midst of her. She shall not be moved. God shall help her. Just at the break of dawn, the nations raged, the kingdoms were moved. He uttered his voice, the earth melted. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. Now, as you read that, think about this. God dwelt in his city, in his temple. Where does he dwell today? Still in the temple, but we're the temple of the Holy Spirit. And so he's picturing nations in an uproar, kingdoms falling, great changes taking place. Kind of sounds like today, by the way. The last century, the century before that, the century before that. Y'all remember Elvis Presley? Everybody here knows it. You know, he started out making $14 a day as a truck driver. And I'm thinking back, now back then, that would have been quite a bit of money and pretty good pay. But on a fluke, he made a recording that caught the ear of a promoter. Next thing you know, he's the highest paid male entertainer in the world. And when Elvis Presley died, the airlines were clogged with people trying to get to Memphis, Tennessee. There were 5 tons, that's 10,000 pounds of flowers sent to his funeral. People lined the streets just to catch a glimpse of the coach and his coffin. But here's what Elvis Presley said at the height of his, you know, popularity. He said, "I'd give $1 million for 1 week apiece." Fame came with a high price. And he recorded a song that really described his life, and maybe it describes your life, but the song was "All Shook Up." I'm all shook up. Right? That's the world. All shook up. And so it is with our world. Nations are in an uproar, but we as Christians never have to be all shook up, because we can stand steadfast because God is our refuge and our strength. And Jesus, he's the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And they're both the same yesterday, today, and forever. And so as Christians, we stand strong in faith and commitment. We talked about that this morning. And we can boldly proclaim, doesn't matter what's happening, I'm not going to be moved. Not an inch away from God. And then there's the third thing we learn, and that is, I'm not going to be overwhelmed or defeated by stress anymore. It seems that the psalmist sits back and looks at all the changes that have taken place, and then reflects on those with words of absolute faith in God. Look at verse 8. "Come, behold the works of the Lord, who has made desolations in the earth." He makes wars cease to the end of the earth. "He breaks the bow and cuts the spear in two. He burns the chariots in the fire." And so, now, what's our response going to be to this troubled world? Look at verse 10. "Be still and know that I am God. I'm exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge." What's he really saying? He's saying, in the midst of it all, I've decided that I'll no longer allow my life to be overwhelmed by the stress and the anxiety, because God's going to be my refuge. He's going to be my strength. Do you sometimes wonder if we've forgotten how to relax? Y'all know my sister and my brother-in-law, and they don't know how to relax. I've tried to instruct them, but I'm not having much luck. But they're busy with grandkids. I mean, they're loving every second of it. They're so busy with things. They're so active. And, you know, she's 6 years older than I am. Of course, I'm just 39, right? So I'm 70, she's 76, and he's 77, and they're busy. And sometimes I wonder, have y'all forgotten how to relax? And then they remind me, yeah, we know how. We spent the day just relaxing. How long has it been since you just sat down with family and ate a meal together, and then after the meal just visited and had fun? We're kind of all past that point of having kids in, but we do have grandkids to our house, and we have other family members. How long has it been since you just took your shoes off and walked through the grass? Now, if you're tender-footed as me, that's a challenge. How long has it been since you saw the flowers? Do you know what's at the front of this building when you walk out immediately to your left? You know what's there? Have you seen them? How long has it been since you've seen the flowers? When you're really stressed, you don't see them. How long has it been since you've taken a walk in the evening and just watch the sunset? or got comfortable and read a whole chapter of a book without any interruptions? How long has it been since you just leaned back and relaxed and listened to some good, wholesome 70s music? Or the music of your choice? How long has it been? How long has it been since you enjoyed a day, just took a day and got away from it all? When you turned off your cell phone or your TV or whatever and forgot what time it was and just chilled. A day when you did what you wanted to do when you wanted to do it. Someone said that three words summarize how most folks are spending their lives today. It's hurrying, worrying, and scurrying. I thought that was pretty good. And so we're in a culture, and we need to be reminded in this culture that we need to stop and take this psalmist to heart and be still. And know that I am God. So what do we take home? Obviously, all of us knew everything I've said so far up to this point, right? We've all heard this, we've all read this, we've all studied it, we've all thought about it. But somehow we just need to get down to where the rubber meets the road in applying it. In other words, we really need to focus on the great truths in this psalm to make a difference in our lives in this chaotic world. What do we take home? And by the way, again, this sermon's really not with you in mind, it's with me in mind. This sermon's for me, so I know it's going to help you too. Well, number one, never forget that God is always near and accessible to you. How many times have you been talking on the phone? And I do this to my sister all the time. We talk a lot on the phone. Well, somebody's calling. I need to talk to them. I'll call you back. And she does that too. That's not a problem. Or you're talking to someone. They say, well, I need to put you on hold. God will never put you on hold. He'll never say, look, I'm going to hang up, but I'll call you back later. He'll never ask you to stand in line. He'll never require you to stop at the stoplight, although nobody's coming from any direction. Because God is always accessible and anxious to hear us whenever we pour out our hearts to Him, speak to Him. Yes, some of our problems may be superficial, while others are very deep and substantial. And God helps us with all of them. And so you can always talk to Him. Like Paul said, pray without ceasing. Because He's always accessible. Secondly, God's power. Remember that God's power is greater than anything in this world. I don't know how many times I've heard in the last few months that America has the most powerful military in the world. And I'm kind of thankful for that. And that we have the most powerful economy in the world. But it's nothing compared to God, right? It's greater than Cat 5 hurricanes. And the strongest of tornadoes, earthquakes and volcanoes. I mean, take this to bank. There is nothing greater that mankind has ever known or can even envision than God. God's power is sufficient to win the victory over all our enemies that come our way. The psalmist said, God is our refuge. And I really like this. Our strength. Your strength, my strength in times of trouble. And so don't be afraid to ask for His help. lean on Him. And then thirdly, and lastly, God's help works even when we can't help ourselves. Have you felt burdened lately? Have you felt weak lately? Have you felt overstressed lately? Yes, yes, yes. Have you felt like there's too many things creating stress? Yes. Too many life change units in your life. Do you feel like you're about ready to explode or maybe implode? I'm not sure which. And so the psalmist says, hey, here's the good news. God's help is available. All you have to do is reach out to it. All you have to do is grab hold and be still. Stop. Be still. And put it all on God, on His shoulders. Now, I know that you, in your greatest times of struggle, have went through that process. Right? You reach a point in the process where you finally say, God, this is way beyond me. I've got to hand it over to You. We don't have to wait that long to hand it over to Him. We can hand it all over to Him every day, in every way. God, this is Yours. And what an incredible relief that is. Tonight, take those things home with you, please. And this week, go back to Psalm 46 and reread it and meditate about it and pray about it. If you need to come, please come now while we stand and sing.